From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where, despite what I just said 48 hours ago, we're importantly not a politics show. Although we definitely bump up against it a lot, I feel it's still good to have a place to mostly escape from the shit show that is out there. So we are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, who will be talking about fringy topics that are not going to impact your life directly, harmfully.
Forget about it. Don't even think about it.
Right, I sure hope that I'm not being played a fool by Chelsea right now, as it is her episode and she did not tell me what her topic is. But
it's politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably do think about politics, but not just right now, because you don't want something to slip under the radar and then all of a sudden, you know, I don't need to say it. Don't let it happen. So I didn't think there were many UFO encounters by children at school. In fact, I had thought we covered all two of them in a previous episode. Those were some good episodes. I can't remember if it was one or two episodes that we did them in.
I think they're separate episodes.
I think they are separate episodes.
Yeah, there's the Australian one and the Madagascar school, right?
No, I don't think it's Madagascar. I think it's somewhere in Africa. But Madagascar is also in Africa. So you're not wrong, but I'm pretty sure you are wrong because it's not Madagascar.
Is it Zimbabwe?
I can't remember where it is, but it's somewhere in Africa. I'd make a bet on that. So it was news to me when we learned in the Sandown Clown episode, Sam the Sandown Clown, for specific reference, that...
Not to be confused with any of the other Sandown Clowns.
Exactly. Or other aliens that are clowns. Name Sam. So I was surprised when we learned about the Broadhaven school sighting. And that one was thrown out there in the Bufora report. And turns out there are a few more than those two that we covered. So I put together a few accounts. And the thing with these accounts of school children are the consistency and the vividness of the children's descriptions, which have made these cases just renowned within the UFO community, even though I haven't even heard of these ones. But let's jump into it. I have two of them today. The first one we're going to talk about is the Broadhaven Primary School sighting, which is in Wales. Not only do they have dragons, they have UFO sightings at school. In January 1977, a group of 14 children at Broadhaven Primary School reported seeing a silver cigar-shaped object and a man in a silver suit in a field near their school playground.
Wait,
and they also,
they were associated? Or did they just like happen to see these two things and assume they're associated?
Yeah, I mean, they could have assumed that, definitely. The man in the silver suit probably might not be associated with the UFO.
And I would like to just add, a cigar is a serpent-like shape. It's just not wiggling.
But are there ever any humanoids associated with serpent sightings?
No. Not in silver. Actually, I mean, technically in like Chinese mythology, like dragons can turn into people. So, kind of, but
where
not
dragon?
Really. Not really. I don't think you turn into a dragon if it bites you.
Okay.
I'm not 100% on the lore, though. I could be mistaken.
We have to dig into this. Also noted about the man in the silver suit was that he had odd long ears. On to the sighting. The children were playing outside shortly after lunchtime when they noticed the object hovering silently. They described the figure as humanoid, wearing a shiny reflective suit, but no visible facial.
They really just swap between the guy in the silver suit and the UFO pretty interchangeably without saying anything.
Yeah, they do assume that he's with the UFO, definitely. Maybe we get to why they think that. No visible facial features, but there is the observation that he had odd long ears. Some witnesses reported an orange-green light that sat on top of a dome on the top of the craft. 2 hours later, at 3:30 p.m., the object was still there. It eventually rose from the ground and hovered overhead. It was a similar size to a double-decker bus, according to reports. After hovering for several minutes, it disappeared behind the trees and out of sight. One child said, quote, "It was like a silver man, but it wasn't a man. It was shiny like metal and it didn't have a face." Kind of like he's describing a robot. Another child added, "The thing in the field was like a big long tube and it didn't make any noise. It just sat there and then it was gone." The incident was part of a wave of UFO sightings in the area known as the Dyfed Triangle. A teacher at the school who wished to remain anonymous reported that she had also seen something strange that day. A shiny oval-shaped object with a slight dome in the field where the children said they saw it. She also heard a distinct humming sound as the object rose above the trees. Further reports would also come in from parents who claimed their children had witnessed something strange. According to David L. Richards, for example, at just before 5 p.m. on the day of the sighting, UFO investigator Randall Jones Pugh would take a report from a lady claiming her son and several of his friends had witnessed a UFO on the ground near the school. This boy, David Davis, was interviewed by Pugh. Around an hour later, he even took the investigator to the location where he had seen the strange object. By the time they arrived at the location, though, as always, the rain weather had washed away whatever imprints that it might have made. Pugh, however, believed the boy's account, noting how frightened he had been in the hours following the incident. Several of the schoolmates also corroborated his version of events. One of them, David George, even claimed that he had seen an occupant of the craft dressed in a silver suit, seemingly looking down at the field as if studying it. This is an interesting detail in that there were many sightings of apparent extraterrestrials in silver suits the previous year in England and Wales during this UFO wave.
Yeah, so, but they're completely not connected. Like, there's nothing actually like, oh, and they got in the spaceships.
It's not looking as much. They just saw it with the craft. And I'm assuming the connection is made because he looks weird. He doesn't look like he was just, like, out mowing the grass. And like he didn't belong with the UFO, it might have seemed out of place as if with the UFO. And that's my assumption. It doesn't actually say this specifically anywhere that they saw him get in on top of or otherwise related to the UFO.
Okay.
Anyhow, the following day, initial inspections of the area showed rain had washed away any markings from the ground, as we saw when that man went with the boy. Interestingly, however, there was substantial damage done to a telegraph pole. What year was this?
I think it was 90, wasn't it?
1977.
77, okay.
Were they still using the telegraph at that time?
Maybe that's just what they called them, because like the old people wouldn't adapt, and they just waited for maybe them to die before British they called thing. Them telephone poles.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, or it's a British thing. They're weird.
Sometimes it's just easier to let old people die off and adjust to them until then.
Yeah, exactly. They hate learning new things. It was bent at an angle and stood where the children claimed they saw an object hovering. The head teacher of the school, Ralph Llewellyn, issued a public statement on the incident due to all the attention the event had been receiving. He would state that he had spoken to each of the children individually and ultimately did not disbelieve that they saw something that they had never seen before, adding that it was not his belief that children of such a young age are capable of sustained sophisticated hoax. Wow. What a thing to add at the end. Following the statement,
kids are too stupid to fake it.
Yeah.
I really like that because it's also like we've seen it with stories with kids. Like, kids just make shit up all the time.
Yeah, my favorite is the Satanic Panic, in which the kids were like, yeah, I saw him flying.
And then he flew down the toilet and he went to their secret lair.
They would never do something so no. sophisticated. And that is sophisticated. Following the statement, Llewellyn refused any further interviews with the media ever again. And it's still unsolved to this day.
Hmm.
Next one. Crestview. God, those,
sorry, I'm just thinking about it. Those kids would be in like their 60s. They're dying off. It's just like the telegraph generation before them.
I mean, people are living a little bit longer than 60 years old these days.
On average, yeah, but not all of them.
No, not all of them. Maybe one or two. Three or four. How many of there were? 14. You gotta believe a majority of them are probably alive. Probably. Next one. Was it again? Crestview Elementary School sighting in Miami, Florida, USA, March 1967, 10 a.m. Several children at Crestview Elementary School reported seeing a large oval-shaped object with flashing lights hovering in a field near their school. The next 10 minutes were chaotic. Mrs. Virginia Martin, a sixth grade teacher, said there was a lot of excitement. She wasn't paying any attention to what the children were pointing to at first, but was trying to set them lined up to watch. What? But was trying to set them lined up to watch. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, she's trying to get all the kids to sit down in a straight line to watch this beautiful UFO.
Yeah, that's certainly sounds like.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was right, though, but okay. Yeah. Why wouldn't she be paying attention to it?
Because she's an elementary teacher, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Everybody. And then the bell for recess came and they had to go inside.
Most of the 200 girls and boys at morning recess were running towards the school ground fence, yelling and pointing. Mrs. Martin, fourth grade teacher, Bob Atwell, sixth grade instructor, Miss Marion Waters, spotted the oval-shaped object hovering behind a pine tree in an open field. It seemed to move in toward the school, then went straight back and dropped below a pine tree. It then came up again and went westward. Teacher Bob Atwell exhibited no qualms. It was a flying saucer. That's the guy that was so matter-of-fact about the dragon sighting. Yeah, it was a flying saucer. It sure was. This was the second consecutive day he and his class had seen similar metallic-like objects north of the school grounds. See, that's why he's used to it now.
Yeah.
The teachers...
Did he line them up from here?
No, not this guy. He's the sixth grade teacher. Probably the kindergarten teachers are going to make...
Probably just yelling at him.
Yeah. Yeah. The teachers spent Friday afternoon talking to three Air Force investigators who drove to the school from Homestead Air Force Base. Andy Cohen, who said there were two objects, became the closest to a consensus spokesman for the kids, sat in a car and told what he saw. Quote, they looked like long cigars. They were flying apart one at a time. End quote, I assume. Oh, no. Continuing the quote. Some of the girls got hysterical when they saw them. End quote. There's the end quote. I lost it for a second. Later in the day, it was discovered that the UFO sightings were not limited to the children and teachers at Crestview. Mrs. Mary Trozer called at the Herald to inquire about any strange sightings. Mrs. Trozer had been out in the yard and happened to glance in the direction of Crestview Elementary School. There was this oval object with red lights just over the trees. Some children claimed to have seen humanoid figures near the craft. The object was described as silent and hovering just above the treetops before disappearing suddenly. One child recalled, quote, it was big and shiny and it had lights that blinked red and blue. I saw something moving near it. Like little people, but they weren't like us, end quote. Another child said, quote, it didn't make any noise at all. It just stayed there for a while, and then it zoomed away really fast, end quote. So, I find this really interesting, and I know it's been a while since we covered the other two school sightings, which were somewhere in Africa and in Australia. But I find the children sightings really interesting because they are mass sightings. They are coming from as small as 14 children, but that's a lot of witnesses to an event.
Especially a consistent story. And hopefully, you know, the interviewer is actually doing it in a way that they're not leading with it so that you can confirm they all have the same story. But yeah, it is interesting.
And they also have the teachers that are confirming what they're seeing as well. When the accounts are consistent, like Taylor said, across various witnesses, it suggests that something unusual was happening there.
Just as much as John Keel would say, as if their stories did not align and were very different.
Well, the thing about that, if you want to side with John Keel, is it seems as if some kids in both sightings didn't see humanoids, even though they were all witnessing the same thing, which I do find to be an interesting detail. In the Africa one, why can't I remember what it is?
It's in Zimbabwe. The Africa one. It's the aerial school.
Yes, that's it. If you recall, it's been a while since I looked at this, so correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that there were children who also had similar encounters where some of them didn't see a being.
Yeah, some of them saw the alien, some didn't, and it was a tiny little alien.
And I believe some of them saw it doing different things. Some saw it off the UFO. I think some saw it on the UFO. Don't quote me on that because it's been a while. So, if I want to play devil's advocate to John Keel, these are people looking at the same thing, kind of seeing different things, but they still have commonalities between their sighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it seems to be the beings, but it seems to be the beings. Anyhow, pretty much all of them have humanoid sightings as well. Although, I don't know that your one in Australia had humanoid sightings.
I don't think it did, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
I love that I'm calling on episodes that are like years ago. But
yeah, I think this was from year two.
Prepare for. Yeah, but I don't think yours did. But at least in this episode right now, if I want to be, you know, really accurate, as I'm sure most podcasters like to be, is a little bit accurate. I don't, however. So that's why I'm bringing into question episodes long past. And at least these ones, all of the children, for the most part, describe these humanoid figures, often in silver suits, adding a different aspect to the sighting. And it's interesting to note that many UFO sightings involving children seem to be relatively benign. These children weren't reporting aggressive or hostile beings. Rather, they seem to witness strange phenomena, much like ordinary people.
Yeah, it's good they're not sending their aggressive ones to the elementary schools.
No, it's really good. Though, in the aerial school sighting, a lot of them got downloads about how we're destroying the planet. So
that's right.
Take with that what you will. I don't know if you might consider that hostile, giving
it's actually
a child
kind,
a download
yeah.
like that.
Giving no, kids politics like that.
Yeah. Though in the aliens' defense, maybe they didn't think they were children. And in all of them, at least in these ones, I know I didn't say it specifically, but they were all mostly silent craft, aside from the one witness that said that when it took off, it made a Tesla sound. That's the nice word to call those vehicles right now, by the way. Being very forgiving by saying Tesla. Yeah, those are my sightings. I know it was a short episode. I could have made this longer. There are actually a lot of sightings, some of them popular, that were sighted solely by children. I wanted to just do a bunch of school sightings where multiple children were witnessing a UFO at the same time at schools. So I took all the other ones out. Who wants to hear just about child sightings? You got to make it interesting. You got to make it a specific child sighting. And specific child sighting I did.
Well, I find it really interesting that they all end up being like elementary schools. Like, it kind of caps out at like grade 6 for sightings. So we haven't heard of a high school sighting or a university UFO sighting.
No.
Which is very interesting.
True. That is very interesting. And when you say it like that, do they know where they are? They would have to do it with intention.
Yeah.
Because,
like, the schools
I don't know every UFO sighting. This actually has become, you know, people in my regular life find a UFO thing and they think of me and they're like, thought of you, it's about UFOs. And I'm like, thank you. I love that you think of me for UFOs. But this seems to be the subject in the paranormal that I'm least studied on, because these things always come up and they surprise me. These UFO counters that I've never heard of. So that makes me think a little bit, but again, are these targeted by them? Because there's all these other encounters that are mass encounters or whatever, but nothing quite like this. Like, no high schools, like you said, no other things. Yeah. was a long tangent to come back to that.
And yeah, oh, no, like it is still moment. It's still kind of weird that like of all the places with a mass sighting, it's a place where kids under the age of 12 kind of converge on a routine basis.
Yeah, there's no talk in this one of them passing anything telepathically on, like in the aerial school sighting, which is an also interesting aspect to that one, though telepathy comes in some UFO encounters, that they're passing that on to so many school children. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud here. It's not making yeah. sense.
No, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, yeah. At least it's, they're being nice to the kids. Outside of telling them climate change is very real, staying apolitical with their visitations.
Yeah, and you know, here we are.
Yeah.
Today.
Well, thank you for that, Chelsea. That was a lot of fun.
You're welcome.
And with that, I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.